Welcome to the Recruitment Flex with Serge and Shelly. I'm Serge.
And I'm Shelly. And we talk all things recruitment starting right now.
Bonjour and welcome to the Recruitment Flex. Shelly, another week, another fantastic guest. Can't wait to talk to this one.
Yes, I agree, Serge. I don't know how we keep doing it. Honestly, I'm still, even after 4 years, so honored when people agree to come on the show and talk to us. And today we have a very special guest joining us. It's KJ, who is the CEO of the company Jovio. Welcome to the show, KJ.
Thank you very much, Shelly and Serge. Thanks for having me today.
So nice to meet you. Where I'd like to start is just to get to know you a little better. Can you share with us your journey into the HR tech world?
Sure. Well, I'll start with a bit of personal information. I have 2 kids. They just turned 18 a week back. So troubled years starting now. I'm actually a gemologist by trade. When I was 17, 18 years old, I was in the business of emeralds, rubies, and sapphires. I was a gemologist and a master trader. But then as life moved on, ended up meeting my wife. She's a smart one in the family. She's a lead economist at the World Bank. That explains why I'm in Washington, D.C. And she said, you know what? You have a freedom. Go live your life. Do whatever you want. I got home. And one of the big reasons why I am what I am is because she supported me through all the ups and downs. When I first came to the U.S., she was a student in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I'd come with an American dream. I was a migrant, $150,000 worth of debt on a student loan for my wife. And it was just, everybody had told me growing up that you can do whatever you want. If you dream big and work hard, this is the place for you. This is the land for you. And here I am. I'm a migrant. And all thanks to this great country, I feel very proud to have accomplished and helped by people like you along the journey. Been in this industry since 2001. Had a very different kind of experience. I used to manage, back in the day, Monster.com. I was managing their cross-border business between Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa, Eastern Europe, Russia, Turkey, Latin America, which kind of pretty much covers the entire world. Used to be on the road 270 out of the 365 days of a year.
Wow.
Matt, but the best part of it is I used to meet a lot of talent acquisition heads. And I realized the cultural nuances, how recruiting is different in every part of the world, how hard it is from a job seeker behavior, adapting to it, what motivates them, what are their regulatory compliances, government policies. It gave me a whole different level of appreciation of the life of a head of talent acquisition. It is a hard job. Yeah. And as I was working with Monster and I was traveling around the world, I saw people getting onto smartphones and mobile devices. And I used to wonder when I, with my family, used to go to Costco or some of these places and say, how do these people apply to job? How does a truck driver, how does a warehouse package handler or a store clerk apply to job? They don't have desktop devices. And then I started realizing that the entire system was set up in the wrong way. The job application process was very long. And the people who really need a job don't have a desktop device. Application processes are not optimized for mobile devices. And I said, you know what? Let me at least make a dent in the universe and try to do something about it. And lo and behold, my first startup was created. Prior to that, I had failed many times, by the way. But this time, I think the fortune cookie turned out to be right. And we were acquired by Indeed. In 2014, we were the first ever acquisition, and I learned a lot indeed. I learned that of all things, there are pretty much about, you know, 50 job titles in the US that account for 80% jobs in the US. And these are people like warehouse package handler. These are delivery drivers. These are people who work in retail chains, whether it is food retail, department retail, so on and so on. And I said, we got to solve this problem. There's got to be a way that there is a right job for everybody in the world. It's our job to get the right job in front of them. And that's the genesis of a name called Jovio. And that's the mission that we say, you know, it's our job to get them a right job. And suddenly this thought emerged in my mind that, you know what, let's try to solve this problem. The idea is there are, you know, people coming to career site. They're not looking at the right jobs. They're sometimes making wrong decisions, applying to wrong jobs. I said, it's a massive problem. So let's get one thing. Let's solve the problem of distribution on job boards programmatically and do it right with a tech-first approach. And I called my co-founders from a previous startup and said, guys, listen, you want to get back to the journey with me? And let's work together. And very humbled and honored that as a team, we got back together and slowly by slowly started working on it. And here we are, just doing a bit to change the world a little bit.
Wow, that is a fabulous journey that you have been on. Mm-hmm. Now, you did bring up one term that, you know, when I hear the term programmatic job advertising or programmatic in recruitment marketing, and I know I'm not alone. Like, even when I speak to other senior TA leaders, they don't really understand what it is. So can you just like pretend I'm in grade five and explain to me in the simplest way possible, what do you mean by programmatic?
I think the biggest problem with this word, with this entire industry, is the word programmatic itself.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And I would say it's simple as that. Companies need to advertise their jobs to the destinations and locations where people are going to. They're going to Facebook. They should be putting their jobs on Facebook and the way Facebook takes jobs. So they're going to Indeed. They're going to LinkedIn. You just have to make this decision. The problem is that company needs to hire tens of thousands of people for thousands of jobs across dozens of countries where every country will have few dozen top job boards out there. Mm-hmm. How do you make sense of all of that? There's too many moving parts. How do you decide which source is delivering you the best quality applications?
Right.
Which source is giving you the most relevant job seekers in the fastest time? And there has to be someone who acts democratic, acts independent and transparent and say, let me help you do that. Let me put all of that together in one box. Send me all your jobs. And I will decide where to distribute it in a way that I'm neutral. I'm not taking sides. You can trust me on this. And when the results come in, we show you transparently what it is. When you say programmatic, the only change that should happen is a typical company would have, let's say, 1,000+ jobs, maybe made into 20 campaigns. Each of the campaigns' job is sent to about 10 different job boards. You're talking about 200 different combinations. And you have to not change the bids and the budget every single day. That's about 3,000 to 4,000 manual changes that need to happen, not humanly possible. But this is all data. Machine can do the job much better. Mm-hmm. So that's why it should be a program that should be doing it. And that's why it should be called programmatic.
Thank you. That was a great explanation. So just one more follow-on question, if I could, please. Should companies that are doing the traditional route, that is, they're just choosing like one or two, because you're right, doing this manually is impossible. Why should companies consider doing this? It seems harder. Or maybe that's just me. Wouldn't it be easier to just place your jobs on one place and then come back and see how it did? Because they don't have time for all this, right?
And that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to do this. Why post a job and wait and see the results coming in? Why can't we challenge the status quo and say, can we do it better? Nobody becomes best in the world by trying to become the best. They become the best in the world by trying to do better every day. Yeah. That's my philosophy. So if you imagine, the problem is not posting the job to the right locations or right sources. The problem is so wide that I'm living in this area, which is Bethesda, Maryland. If there is a company that wants to hire over here, it's a residential area. But you might be able to get a person from somewhere in Washington, D.C. or across the river in Virginia. And you should be able to automatically understand and expand that job, because ATSs are structured to post a job in the location where person is supposed to be based, where talent works. ATSs do not post jobs where talent lives. Now you expand that up, right? Recruiters are not marketers. Hiring managers are definitely not marketers. I've seen people writing job titles as CDLA. What does CDLA mean? It's a truck driver. SDE, a software development engineer. Can the technology automatically understand that and know which is the most searched job title for this? Can machine understand this? And I think we live in a flawed world. People who are writing the job, and I was giving the example to a colleague of mine, and this is a very honest thing I'm going to say, is when we talk about something and you talk about people, I have observed it and tracked it myself. 90% of the time, people use the word he and not she. Now, this is just my personal observation. But could there be a job description that is really, truly diverse, that's really, truly equal how many times you write keywords like go-getter and hard. You know, can AI transform your job description to be more equal, could appeal truly to everybody in the world in the right way? Could you also do so many other things where, you know, I'll give a simple example. Why should be done? And I'm going to make a statement which is not going to land well with most of the TA tech industry. Every single reporting, 80% of the TA leaders in the world are getting is wrong. And I'll tell you why. If you, and you all have experienced it, right? You go to a company's website or any career site, there is a question that comes in, accept or decline cookies.
Yeah.
Tracking is pretty much based on cookies. If you decline, you cannot be tracked. So that means the data is never going to show you that this source is the reason why Shelly applied to a job in the company, because it cannot be connected. Cookies will not track it. Only recently, when Google started talking about and US government started talking about deprecating cookies and cookies are going to go away, did the consumer marketing world woke up and said, let's do something about it. But the technology they're building is called fingerprinting, which is only working on views and impressions. But our business does not work on views and impressions. It works on people who are clicking to apply to a job, people who are finishing the application. It has to be brought in forward for that. So we build that technology in-house. We are not using an outsourced technology. Now, if you just think of how programmatic can really do, if you do it well, and this is my previous startup. Why is it that 100 people who have an intention to apply to a job, only 5 end up applying to a job? Why is that? I care so deeply about it. I'm sorry, you're saying something.
No, I think I knew what you were going to say. Why is there such a dramatic drop?
I'll give you one simple reason. That
please
accounts for 40% of drop-offs. Okay. It's the very first page when you click on a apply button, you get to a page which is called create a login and password. These are secret questions. There is a captcha and there is all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you turning away at that point of time? The people who are not desperate, people who are high quality, people who don't want to go through the pain of spending an hour finishing the application process.
Yes.
And if you can just address that as an extension of programmatic, and ATSs are not known to be able to build APIs that would work at fine, could there be a technology that can solve this problem? We have that built as an extension of programmatic. So we think people first, we think job seeker experience, candidate experience, and recruiter experience are two experiences you want to solve for. You stay true to them, you stay true to your clients. That's what you've got to focus on. So just by removing the login page, you can get 40% more applications, which means across the US, if everybody did that for the ATS applications and remove the login page, the 40% spends of all the companies in the US will go away tomorrow. Every job board will have 40% less business overnight if this one thing can be solved. I've had companies asking for social security number.
Yeah.
You talk to a recruiter and recruiter says, I don't really need it. I need it when I have to give an offer later. Why can't you remove that? It's mandatory. Can you pre-fill that information with something else so that the users don't drop off over there? I have a question I will ask you, and I know and can be a little direct at times. I want to ask all the TA leaders and CHROs in the world, isn't hiring the people among the top 5 things of your CEO?
I would argue it's the number one thing of a CEO, especially at early stage. I would say it's the most important.
And people for profit companies like FedEx, like trucking companies, like so many companies, nurses, healthcare hospitals.
Yeah.
If you don't have nurses, your business goes down. But have any one of you gone and looked at your application, job application process? Ever, please suffer the pain yourself to actually realize that. You passionately, and sometimes it can come out a little bit strongly, solve for that. Let us solve for that together. Let us solve for the entire journey together.
I have a lot to cut in there. There's a lot of great points. And to answer that last question is, it's one of the things, the first thing as I'm working with a client, I'm like, has your CEO applied for a job? Because that is the only way that they're going to change the process. Because we're looking at it from an HR or talent acquisition. It's in our job. We're just so used to register, to apply in these steps. We forget. It just becomes noise, right? As a CEO coming in and going through the process, they're like, this doesn't make any sense, especially if the CEO is coming from a world of conversion when it comes to sales. If he's taking that same process and being like, I would not do this for my sales clients. So why are you doing it for candidates? I agree completely, but I want to jump into a couple of things that you've said there. To register to apply is an interesting one because it's very much an American or North American issue. Because from what I'm seeing in Europe, there is very few register to apply in the ATS. I might be wrong, but I've seen it in Germany and the Netherlands. 90% don't have register to apply. But there's a broader question there. So there is friction that is negative. Registering to apply and say you apply to 50 jobs that are all workday ATS, you're still registering 50 different accounts,
yes,
which is crazy just to think about that. But the flip side to it is one-click apply with no friction. It's got to be in the middle because okay. What's your thoughts here about no friction, in friction? And I think there's a right amount of friction somewhere that sits in the middle. But what's your thoughts there?
You answered my question. You answered your own question. I think you have to search. I'm trying to correct one problem. You so much overcorrected that you've created a beast out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, while you did a one-click apply, you made people easy to apply to jobs. So now they're, you can't scale your recruiters 10x overnight. If you have 100 recruiters, you have 100 recruiters.
No.
But if your application volume goes up by 10x, are you really doing right by a recruiter experience as well, right? Are they going to be able to do a good job of even looking at applications? Are these applications even being looked at? And please help me understand, are these even going into ATS as a full application where screening questions and all those questions being answered? Recruiters not married to the ATS, and whatever is in the ATS is a source of truth and a system of record.
Yeah.
So what's really happening to that? And with, you know, GPT coming in with the ability to understand the questions and the context of it, I have known companies that will just take a resume and say, you don't even have to do one-click apply. We will keep on doing the one-click applies for you hundreds of time a day for every single job that's out there. These are bots that do that. We have created a bigger problem in trying to solve this problem and corrected over far this way.
Yeah.
There is always a right kind of information that you need to be able to screen and engage the right candidate. Optimize for that. Find the right balance. Don't be as painful as you have in ATS. Remove your login, right? That itself, right? You're getting 40% more. TA tech budgets of companies, and I've known companies which spend $1 million a month. They spend $12 million a year. Their entire ATS and HR tech contract pool put together is less than $1 million a year.
Yeah.
And $12 million here, $1 million over here. Imagine if you get 40% more applications over here. That's about $4 or $5 million over here you save. Can you then not use into creating innovation, experimenting stuff, giving your recruiters maybe a better raise and so on and so forth? I don't know what I don't know, but I think solve the right problem in the right way is my motto.
Amen. I completely agree with that assessment. I do want to take even a step further back in what you said. There were so many nuggets in there that I want to dig in deeper. And talking about programmatic again, and it's interesting because programmatic in the consumer and B2B marketing has been around since 1998, as an example. Really, programmatic in our space is probably 2012, 13, 14, and with AppCast and then Jovio, you all came out in very similar timeframes. And if you look at most of the marketing that's spent on consumer B2B, it's bought programmatic. Don't quote me on this number, but I think what I saw was around 80%.
You're right on that.
We're not close to that when it comes to recruitment marketing. I'm a huge fan of programmatic. I've used it as a practitioner for a long time. But I think of most of my colleagues, it's so overwhelming to even think about it. How do we simplify it so there's a wide adoption across the board that maybe you don't even need to use an agency because you can do it internally? Like, how do we simplify this?
Awakening of both demand side and supply side has to happen, right? It's a pull and push both sides. First of all, don't solve the problem you shouldn't be solving for. Don't solve trying to make people, where core function is human resources, talent acquisition, and make them technology and marketing gurus. Right? They're great at understanding people. They're great at understanding behaviors, hiring the right people. They're not data analysts and gurus. The problem does not lie in making people understand this. I think the problem lies in the ecosystem that we are working.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, I'll give you a simple example. Any single newspaper website, sports website, you go behind the scenes in terms of tracking codes that are there. They have DMPs and DSPs and supply side partners tracking code. Everybody is allowing cookies to be placed in every single page of their website so as to expose what is the kind of audience that are coming to different pages of theirs, what is the traffic that's coming in. They're exposing that information in full transparency, which is why the inventory or the supply of people who are coming to a certain website is openly known. And the demand is also coming to the same box. So imagine supply is coming for every single provider in the world, and the demand from companies who want to place ads is coming the same place. And that is when, in real time, the matching happens. An ad is bought in a consumer tech world. If you are, I'm being very conservative here, if you're half a second late, you lose the bid. Somebody else, half a second, milliseconds decisions are made.
Yeah.
In our business, the same thing takes hours. Supply side job boards, they will never allow anybody to know under the hood which page of theirs, which location of theirs, which jobs of theirs are getting what kind of clicks, what kind of traffic. And until that system evolves and matures, it will not get to a place where the right information comes in. When this information comes in, we just have to tell people it's fully transparent. There's gold standards that are established. Everybody's judged by the same thing. And therefore, the demand side, which is the companies, will also play by the same rules.
Mm.
And everybody plays by the same rules. I always tell my team, solve the right problem. Education of talent acquisition leaders, they're doing their best. If I've met so many of those, I met about close to 1,000 in my entire life of pretty much every single Fortune 1,000, 2,000 companies while I was working in Monster. And after that, don't try to have them solve a problem where they have to now learn a whole different skill set and then go deep into the tech and real-time bidding and how all of these things work. Make it easy for them. Give them something that say it's transparent, it works in real time, but supply side ecosystem has to mature and evolve, which I believe in this industry, for whatever reasons, ain't happening in the near future.
Hmm. That's a really interesting perspective. I've never thought about it in that concept of what problem we're trying to solve. And this is one in our mind. We need to get talent acquisition people to understand this. And no, we don't actually. So thank you for changing my perspective on that. I've never approached it that way. Shelley, do you want to jump in the next question?
Yes, because something you just touched on when you were talking about the same rules applying to the job boards as it does in the traditional consumer marketing and the evolution of those rules applying to both. So what are your thoughts on the job board industry? I'd love to gather your perspective. Will they adapt? Will they change? You've been obviously going back to Monster. Surge has been in the industry about as long as that too.
Yes.
I have so many thoughts coming to mind at the same time. When I started working at Monster existed already for 5 years. Okay. What happened is they'll pull people into their job board, give them a search box, list of jobs, click on a apply button, go through a career site apply process and apply to jobs. Now, please tell me any other company since 1995, the way they were treating that experience is still the same. This whole pull model, making a person search for a job, why can't we change it to a push model? That's one thing I can say, that mindset has changed. We all have kids. My kids about a week or so back turned teens, and they're at an age where they're starting to understand something. I said, I just want to be able to say I'm interested in the job and this is what I do and you take care of it. I don't want to type anything, do anything. I won't even put it in the chatbot. I want to be on the road listening to music and saying something over here and the job application happens. Now, this is the generation we are going to get, and are we prepared for that? Second thing I would say is this pull and push model is one thing, but job boards inherently suffer with this whole aggregator model. Right? I think aggregation, arbitrage, when you create a brand, like Indeed is what Indeed is today, because it created a brand, people are going to Indeed.com and searching for a job.
Yeah.
These are network effects. A network effect means that even if you're not getting traffic from somewhere else, people will still come to your site. So all those aggregators which have a lot of arbitrage traffic that they're buying from others and have not built a presence and a brand in the mind of job seekers will face a tough time. So I would say job board evolution, they have to invest a lot of time in building the brand. Network effects have to play out. Mm-hmm. And then they add value services on top of it, right? Provide optimizations, provide other guidance, counseling, material, make it sticky, right? Make them want to come to your job board. But not just when you have to look for a job, but also when you're not looking for a job. What are we doing about that? So I would say as a destination side, job boards will need to evolve a little bit. Think about Gen Z. Think about what they are going to do, right? People like us are going to fade away in 5-7 years. We are the end of that generation. Now the next generation is going to say, listen, we have had enough. Our Gen Zs are going to drive away. So my request is all the job boards to realize that someone is going to come and disrupt them. Indeed is still the best player in the industry. When COVID happened, most of job boards revenue went down by 50-60%. Theirs didn't. Why? Yeah. Because they had the brand, they had the network effects. That's why they're in their own league. And I think that's a learning for all the job boards out there.
I spent most of my career in job boards, also as a practitioner. And I know exactly where you're coming from, because working at Workopolis here in Canada, which was Monster's biggest competitor for a long time, we had built a destination brand that people were coming to the site. We made some mistakes as far as job volumes, and we were right for the market to be taken over in Canada. And we saw that across the world with Indeed. But Indeed didn't initially really build a brand, right? They just aggregated all the jobs in the internet and gave a one-stop shop that everyone could go. And then people realized this is like the Google of job search. And then Indeed just spent on marketing and really created a little bit of a cult following initially that just grew up to be the behemoth they're now.
I'm in such awe of Indeed founders and how they built the company, right? Initially, they just aggregated jobs from job boards.
Yeah.
Advise them. Anybody going on Google will see Indeed. That created the brand.
Yeah. Okay.
And they realized that instead of people coming via Google, they're coming to Indeed directly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're also smart. They not just did this, they also started aggregating the jobs directly from company's career site and not from job boards. So they were the first to the market, first to the job seeker with an opportunity. So now this is also a self-fulfilling cycle, as you call it, as a virtuous cycle playing out. You will get all jobs in the world at Indeed. You'll get the freshest job that you'll not see anywhere else. And then they start investing a lot more in and building on top of it, where the experience of quality of jobs, the search quality team of Indeed is really respected, because they hold the moral ground of saying nothing wrong will go in. Candidate experience is a very important thing. They stay true to the North Star that we help people get jobs. As I said, it's either candidate experience or recruiter experience or both. You do it right by them, everything else is falling in place.
I do want to move into, we talked to a lot of recruiters, we talked to a lot of leaders, and the biggest complaint that we're hearing right now, we alluded a little bit to it earlier, is just the sheer amount of candidates that they're getting as the market has slowed down, where 2 years ago, it was really challenging to get any amount of candidates, but now it's just an overwhelm in talent acquisition department that I've shrunk in the past 2 years. Can programmatic help in alleviating the challenges that these recruiters and recruitment departments are dealing with right now?
So the problem in this is, and this is a paradox I'm not able to make sense of, is unemployment is at all-time low.
Yeah.
Why are people applying to jobs? Consumer spending continues to stay strong. And there are more applications coming in. Don't over-distribute jobs. Okay, first of all, focus on the job descriptions where you say very clearly, this is the kind of profile you're looking for. Like, invest in your job descriptions. Put screening questions right before a person even starts to apply to a job. Think of the CRM interface has to be put in between a talent community interface.
Yep.
Where you ask for those questions. And then instead of taking through the application process, if the screening does not meet the criteria, for example, you're looking for a package handler who lives in a 50-mile radius and has done this job for a year. I'm just making it up, right?
Yeah.
Do you live in 50-mile radius of this zip code? Do you have a package handling experience? Have you lifted packages of certain weight of this size? A no answer puts them to talent community. A right answer gets into apply process. And programmatic companies can actually host that experience and then send them to apply process. You want to reduce volume of applications, but you do not want to reduce the quality of applications.
Exactly.
And again, I think of it like this, is solve the right problem. Everybody in the industry, since I was a kid in this industry, has been trying to solve the matching problem. And my approach is, why solve the matching problem? Solve the mismatch problem. By solving for that, automatically go over there. 80% of the wrong relevant applications are either of too far away a person is living or belongs to a whole different industry category. A baker applying to a nurse job, right? mm-hmm. screen them out, put them into a CRM, send them a nice email saying that you don't fit the job and all that good stuff. But solve for the mismatch problem. Don't try to build algorithms where you say, I know exactly the right person for this job. You know, I'm a big believer of Pareto's law. Dr. Pareto said one thing, 20-80. 20% of things that you do get you 80% there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So solve for these two problems, you've got 80% of the problem of the quality solved for. And as a result, the volume's also getting addressed.
KJ, you're definitely a deep thinker when it comes to this space and how you're looking at the principles of the problems that we're dealing with. I got to give you kudos on that. I do want to come back to Jovio. Tons of movement in this space. We can go back 4 years where it seemed like everyone got acquired and Jovio was not part of that. Then we looked at last year, AppCat goes out, buys recruitment marketing firm Bayard, the biggest one in the U.S., and then Veritone acquires Broadbean and merges it with PandoLogic and Wade and Wendy, creating Veritone Hire. We're not hearing a lot about Jovio, and I'm thinking that's a good thing, probably, but I'd love to get your perspective of where Jovio is fitting in this marketplace that seems to be moving quite rapidly.
I've got multiple interests and offers over a period of years.
I'm sure you have.
And I want to get one thing right in my life. Bring one thing to a good logical conclusion. I don't want to look back at my life and say I was a failure, because I may have started a company, I may have sold it, but did I take it to a logical conclusion? Did I grow it to making a dent in the universe? When I was growing up, I wanted to change the world. As I aged, my perspective changed. I want to bring a change to the world. A small little change is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Which means that if I have to stay true to a belief and partner with people who believe in the vision, and stay along, I need to stay independent. And also one thing, you got to decide who you want to be, but more important than that, who you do not want to be. I get asked a lot of questions, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what do you want to be when? I said, I actually still don't know what I want to be in my life, but I do know what I do not want. And I know what Jovio does not want to be. Jovio will never be an agency. It will never be a job. I've steadfastly maintained from day zero, we've said the same thing, and we still say the same thing. And I'll tell you the reason why. Companies, clients trust us. They want us to be independent, transparent. So if you are a part of job board, think of it as a match, a team and a referee on the same side.
Yep.
It doesn't sound right to me, right? You're going to always favor the team that you're coming from, right? The other thing I would say is agency's DNA is creative.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They add a lot of value in defining employer brand, brainstorming with you, employee value proposition, building creative. A creative DNA is the farthest removed from a tech DNA. Imagine putting an artist and engineer in the same room. They won't have anything common to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask ourselves, what do we not want to be and what do we want to stay true to? One thing. If you do one thing in life and you do one thing right, you will still be valuable. My previous startup was bootstrapped.
Okay.
Did not raise money except from some friends and family. And we had competitors which had raised any from $10 to $40 million. I'm talking 2012 to 14. And we had the best outcome of them. Because what we did is we're not going to create 20 different things. We're going to do the tech right. We're going to solve one problem. And we're going to deliver performance. We want to be the tech backbone that can be the best partner for agencies. Period. We want to be the partner for a job board that can trust us and say they will not take sides.
Mm.
And honestly speaking, between a programmatic and an agency, there is a relationship, a symbiotic relationship of checks and balances. Mm. We have to have that. So that is the philosophy. And I come from a small middle-class family in a small town in India. And I came to the US as a migrant. I don't think any amount of money will ever drive me to do anything. The last 6-7 years, I take 96 cents as a salary. And that's all I do. So I want to keep my motives very clear and clean. I'm trying to solve a problem. I want to be honest to the clients that I have. And we will build it slowly and steadily, but we'll do it right. Get driven by trying to pick every shiny penny that we see out there. Let's solve the problem. The world will reward you for that automatically.
That is so insightful and interesting to get the perspective of where your head is at with Jovio and how you fit in the market. I think it's smart. I think it's really smart if you look at what your competitors are doing and the movement in the space. So kudos, great work on that. I'm going to leave you with this last question. We're almost halfway through the year. What's your prediction for the next little while? What do you expect to happen in this industry that is going to kind of be what we're talking about?
You're talking about the macroeconomic and how you think this is going to change. So trust me, my wife is a lead economist in the World Bank. I ask this question to her every single
day.
I meet her from her office. I said, please, for God's sake, people from IMF, from World Bank, from IFC, please tell me what's going to happen.
It's got to be an advantage to being married.
Guys, do this for a living, right? You are on PhDs and like the Stanford, Harvard book kind of people. Please tell dumb people like me. And it is anybody's guess. I can say what I can hope for. I can say where I can see. If I take first principles, something's got to give. Right? There cannot be a sustained run of high unemployment, consumer spending going up, companies beating Wall Street forecasts all the time, all these things happening at the same time. I think what I feel is a lot of these strategic decisions are driven by sentiment. What's happening around the world is not conducive to the sentiment that allows for business leaders to want to invest in expanding the business. They want to hold back. And these are the decisions that are happening at the CEO levels of Fortune 100, 500 companies. I think the future of our industry is in the hand of politicians. Coming down the world, right? The breadbasket of the world is Ukraine, right? About 60%, 50% of goods in the world flow through those seas where there's a lot of dispute happening in China and Taiwan.
Yeah.
There's something happening in the Middle East where you go to Suez Canal and then every ship is being attacked or at least at the threat of being attacked. Address all of that. Calm the world down. Bring peace. I think business will prosper. Business always prospers when there's peace.
Thank you. Thank you for that insight. And I didn't put two and two together when you first mentioned at the start that, yes, your wife would probably have a better concept of what's going on in the world than any of us. Yeah. Is she in the house? Can she come in? We'd love to ask her some questions.
She looks at macroeconomic indicators, micro indicators, data sets, which are massive. But at the same time, every single day, she says, none of these indicators are making sense to us.
Mm. Interesting. I'm so glad you joined us. We should have done this 200 episodes ago because your insights are incredible. I love the way you think. I love the way you are giving us a different perspective of the narrative in some ways. So thank you. I do want to make sure that anyone that is looking for you can find you. So your name is Kshitij Jain, and you can be found on LinkedIn. So I'll spell it out for you. Kshitij. Then last name, Jain. And obviously, if they want to find out about Jovio.com, I'm assuming you get the .com. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. This was such a pleasure to meet you and have you come on the Recruitment Flex.
Thank you very much, Sergeant Shelia. And I'm very excited about meeting you guys in Unleash a couple of weeks. So thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Au revoir.
Shelly, let's face it, texting candidates is the easiest way to hire quicker today. But your cell phone doesn't connect to your ATS. You're sharing your personal number with strangers. That's pretty scary, right, Shelly? And it's not even legally compliant.
This is where our friends at RecText come in. They've created simple yet powerful text recruiting software that works with your ATS. Plus, it's designed by recruiters for recruiters, so you know it works. To learn more and book a demo, visit www.rectxt.com. Mention the Recruitment Flex and get 10% off annual plans.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.